This just in. This review is highly suspect. This is Brian Salisbury, and I'll throw it to my co-anchor, Christopher Lawrence Cox. Chris?
Thank you very much, Brian. I'm Christopher Lawrence Cox here. The news today. Anchorman 2 was the movie that was watched this evening by our crack news team. What did they think? What will they say about it? Tune in tonight at the news at 11. Now, let me turn it over to my co-anchor, Elliot.
I'm wearing two pairs of pants.
Thank you. Now here's Ashley Moreno with the weather.
It's hot out.
It's gonna rain!
It's gonna rain!
The Blackie weather forecast?
Yes.
This is indeed the usual, the unusual suspects crew on highly suspect reviews, and we are indeed taking a look at Anchorman 2. But first, we must reiterate to you that this is the first appearance of two new members of the unusual suspects, Elliot Fontenette, who you may know from previous products on the oneofus.net, such as Inside the Locker. And Blue Christmas.
Yes.
I'm trying to see more movies than Pacific Rim.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It'll make the contents of my head get back in there after the explosion.
We brought him in to have the opinion of someone who has no idea what movies are.
He is basically our control group because he has seen no films. And therefore, if he liked it, then we have at least a starting point.
Well, he was like, I love that movie. It's in my kitchen. And you can actually set the time on it so you can just watch it for as long as you
That's
want.
That's a microwave, Elliot.
Oh. Yeah.
This litmus strip tastes like candy.
This is a conversation I've had with Elliot.
And also from, what the hell's it called? Minecraft.
Yeah,
we have too many shows. This just in.
Oh my God. From Minecraft and Infinite Variations and Blue Christmas as well, our own Ashley Moreno.
Hello.
Joining the crew. The first girl, I don't understand. She's a woman. What's she doing here?
On a film review?
A film review. This is, I can't work like this.
That curls my mustache.
Well, put your pants back on, and we'll start again.
Yeah. Well, I was going to, but Elliot took mine, and he's wearing both of them now. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you showed him a movie. What did you expect him to do? He lost his goddamn mind.
Did you like the movie, Elliot?
It was good.
Thank you, and good night.
Anyway, like I said, this is the sequel to Anchorman, because everyone was asking, apparently, or at least Will Ferrell was like, hey, my movies aren't making as much money. Maybe you ought to do a sequel. All right.
Maybe fine. You should stop doing pseudo-sequels to Anchorman and do a sequel to Anchorman.
Well, yeah, he's already pretty much remade Anchorman with every other job that somebody could have.
A race car driver, a player in the ABA.
Professional ice skater.
Professional ice skater.
Yeah. Podcaster.
Podcast. Wait, what?
He will.
Okay.
He will do that eventually.
Latino.
It's so hard to get a cab.
Is that a job?
No, it was part of his film, right?
No, it's true.
Casa de Mi didn't see it.
But the character Ron Burgundy, you watch this, he's the ultimate man-child who was like they sell it like you're supposed to be able to get away with it because it was the 70s. It was a different time when men were men and women stayed in the kitchen, but they were just starting to get out of the kitchen. And that pissed men who were men off and thus created drama and the first Anchorman film. Move on from there. It's a couple years later. Will Ferrell and his wife, played by Christina Applegate, have become successful co-anchors on a sort of secondary slot on a major news network when the big boss, played by Harrison Ford, comes along in a funny little cameo and says, you know what? She's great. You suck. You're fired. She's now going to be the first female anchor in the history of television. Of course, if you've seen previous films, you might know that Ron Burgundy won't take to such nonsense. And of course, they split up and he goes off on his own to worlds unknown until, of course, as this has got to tie back, has to have a plot at some point, the birth of the 24-hour news network, which he becomes a part of, and yada yada, and no spoilers, but everyone dies.
Yeah.
Yes.
What this movie is really about is the birth of Fox News, and I actually kind of found that hilarious.
Unlike the first one, it actually is trying to say something.
Yeah.
It does have you cannot fault this movie for having nothing to say or doing absolutely nothing new. For all of its mimicking of the beats of the first one, it did come off and just slap Fox News in the face with its giant comedy dick.
Yeah, and the worst part is I don't want to say the specifics of how they slap Fox News in the face with its giant comedy dick. Sorry, I just wanted to say that too. That was just too cool.
It was a mouthful.
I see what you did there.
Okay. Yeah.
Brian's got a mouthful of comedy dick.
That's the way to put it.
Next t-shirt. I wish I could be specific, but it's actually a pretty funny joke and plot element at the towards the beginning of the third act, that I want to leave to you to discover it.
Well, not only that, but us not telling you all the details means that you can go with a bunch of people that you know, and the people that don't get it are the people that it's making fun of. So there you have it.
You should stop hanging out with them.
You should stop hanging out with people who get their news exclusively from Fox. This is the most political review of Anchorman 2 that you will probably find on the internet, and I apologize. Moving on!
You know, while I don't completely disagree with you, I always like to throw in the codicil that you always get the, no, Fox is no worse than any of the rest. Well, I can prove to you that's not true, but I think as long as you're watching a bunch of different things, you're getting your news from multiple sources, even if one of them is Fox, I can live with that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. If one of them is oneofus.net, then you've got far more problems than...
Yeah, if you're getting all your news from oneofus.net, yeah. you'd be better off just watching Fox.
But, true story.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what percentage of oneofus.net only gets their news from Fox, because I think it's going to be everyone or no one. I think it could go either way.
Wouldn't be surprised to turn out we were talking to a completely different audience than we thought we were. They're
you know,
like, I'm out
little
here.
Known fact, just by doing that survey, we're on American. I just found that out. It was weird. Fox News told me that.
I feel like 3/5.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I'm drinking a scotch.
You are, yeah.
I got an American flag and... no, I don't. Sorry.
Yeah, the Blade Runner poster doesn't count
Moral
as American.
Moral Haggard playing in the background.
For me, the Blade Runner poster is the American flag, okay? It just stands for everything that is good and true and pure about our country.
And it has somebody who is an Anchorman, too.
It does indeed.
Everyone was an Anchorman 2.
Speaking of people who are an Anchorman 2, yeah, Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, and David
Keschner.
I think I got yelled at while we were at Fantastic Fest.
You did. I remember
I believe
that.
It was Keschner.
Yelled at you? It was the guy we interviewed from the movie he was in.
No, I'm just going to let you
It was from Cheap
one.
Thrills.
Thrills, yeah.
Yep.
But that guy.
Yes. I know exactly.
I thought it was funny, and then I totally forgot how to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, we obviously didn't learn from that.
I even forgot his name.
There you go. Scotch is his name. The four main guys from the first film are back. That's part of the first act of the movie is, you know, getting the band back together, as it were. And, you know, as much as they're kind of falling back on their old tropes from the first movie, one thing that you can't deny that these guys are really good at is just kind of the snappy playing off one another and just finding ways to make the most innocuous pieces of dialogue funny. Like, just a simple reaction, just a simple word thrown out is delivered in such a way that you can't help but laugh at it, either because of the absurdity of what they're saying or specifically how they're delivering
and
it.
And I would say the absurdity level for this one is significantly increased over the first one.
Yeah.
As well,
yeah,
where so
sure.
many more of the jokes were just plain non-sequiturs,
yeah.
which can be very funny depending on who's doing it. One thing I didn't like as much was that there were always points in the first one where Ron Burgundy would be the one guy who'd be like, what the fuck is going on? You people are crazy. None of this makes any sense. Like, there was this little shred of sanity still left in Ron Burgundy there. Like, who realized that this world was absurd. And that's not as much so here.
Well, no. Now it's more Paul Rudd that's doing that.
Yeah. But at the same time, they don't really give him much to do with his character.
That's
either.
True.
Like, the whole primary gang, they're kind of, except for Steve Carell, who I always thought was the funniest part of the first one, as Brick. the stupidest man on the, who has ever lived.
Yeah.
He's actually brought very much to the forefront in this one.
He's just on the right side of offensive.
It's, like, it's hard to be offended by him.
No, I'm just saying he's just on that right side. Like, he's walking that line.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with what they do with Steve Carell in here, while I think he is very funny, they bring in a love interest for him with Kristen Wiig, it's Kristen Wiig. She's a phenomenal comic actress, and they just don't do much with her. She's just kind of, they're trying to make her like, oh look, she's a parallel character to Brick.
Exactly, it's just like a female Brick. That is the long and the short of her character.
And it's not as funny as that might sound.
No.
Yeah. But, I don't know. What do you think, Ashley? You've been quiet?
Yeah, I liked it. It was zany to 11, and I think I mentioned on the way over to Brian that I felt like it was a holiday special.
Yeah. Yeah, by the end of it, it really is like, and now this person we know in Hollywood, and that person we know in Hollywood.
And Bing Crosby.
And Bing Crosby's ghost is here.
Well, there was a ghost.
There was a ghost. Yeah. See, that's the thing, is there literally, there's nothing I can come up with that is more absurd than the actual absurdity of this movie.
I will say that, like, the thing that makes a movie like this work, or when there are lines that you laugh so hard at you're going to quote with your friends like forever afterwards. And this actually has a few really great moment lines like that.
Black.
I mean, just like, Rick, where did you get a gun for the future?
Yeah.
What was that? that.
It's one of the, you know, that was one of the charms of the first one, too, is that it was sort of infinitely quotable. And I feel like they were trying, maybe a little bit too hard at times, to make this movie as quotable as the first one. But it did result in some pretty hilarious lines, I have to give it that.
I will admit there was a point in the first third of this that they're still playing the same card the first movie plays all the way through, which is like, look how sexist, how ridiculous sexism is by today's standards by playing it to the nth degree. You know, I was like, okay, we get it. Let's, you know, is there anything else you can do? And then the movie did, in fact, move along and do something else. I was like, oh, okay. Actually, I'm kind of glad. It actually picked up for me in the second half.
It's the only movie with Hank Aaron in it that I've ever laughed in.
Hank Aaron?
It was a montage.
Oh, right. He is a player of the baseball.
Sure.
That is why you don't know who that is.
No. I think I saw
it. And that's also why Elliot does know who he is.
Yes. See how that works out. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really bothered me, though, is that there was sort of a manipulation of the universe of this film's reality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so the first one, it's like, okay, there's a lot of stuff that Ron Burgundy does that obviously he is a terrible anchorman. And yet, within the world of that film, it's like his swagger and like everyone loves him. And no matter, I mean, he still does things like question mark at the end of the like, I'm Ron Burgundy. And everybody's just like, oh, come on, guys. We know Burgundy. But it's never like, we should really fire, you know, Ron Burgundy. And in this film, all of a sudden, Harrison Ford's like, you are the worst anchorman ever, and then shows what is essentially a clip show of things that he's done on the air that are just as bad as the things he did on the air in the first one. So all of a sudden, it's like, okay, so what world are we actually living in? Is this the world where Ron Burgundy is a man-child, and he's kind of a perpetual fool, but everybody loves him and just deals with it, and it's okay? Or is it suddenly, he is that character, but now, for some reason that we're never really clued in on, people have a problem with that.
Well, I felt like what they were trying to say is like, hey, he was a small town guy. That was fine. They loved their Ron Burgundy, faults and all. But this is the national news.
But
now,
he still got that job at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? He hasn't changed.
Why did he?
Yeah. So it's like, I don't understand why suddenly everyone's like, you're a terrible anchorman. It's like, he wasn't the first one too. You just noticed this.
You're right. I just looked it up on the continuity. Apparently in Anchorman episode 7, season 4.
I didn't want to go there, but
talking to the Andorian soldiers.
Because I remember the ending of the first one?
No.
Well, no, here's the thing. I watched Anchorman last night, and I mean, he got the job after a heroic act of saving her from the bear. Well, it was actually Baxter that saved from the bear.
This is what you're making fun of right here.
I'm just saying, like, so I think, you know, you don't want to think too much about this. I don't think it really lends itself to analysis.
That's true.
I'm not trying to.
It still depends on
this right setup.
On the right setup.
I know.
And even in its own way, sticking to its mythology, I think this movie gets away with it to some degree just because it does rely so heavily on non sequitur type humor.
Yeah.
That the universe has become so much more absurd than the first one. Mm-hmm. And you're either going to, that's either going to really drive you crazy or you're going to just go with it.
It was too absurd.
For me, I kind of went the opposite way. I actually enjoyed this a little bit more maybe than the first movie.
Really?
Because the first film actually did ask me to take it seriously. Seriously at points, and this one never really does.
See, I don't know that I would agree that the first film takes itself seriously. I just think it's more of a ride, and there's more of like a tone that's established right off the bat. Whereas in this one, we're just kind of thrown into things, and I never really get the... you know what it feels like? It feels like a different director came in for this one. Even though it is still Adam McKay, there's something about the way this film starts off and the tone that it strikes throughout that I'm like, is this a different filmmaker coming in? And the absurdity thing, the only time that bothered me is they went so non sequitur at points that they were anachronistic. Like, they literally had Brick making Ghostbusters references in a movie that takes place in 1980.
But okay, it was funny.
I like, the thing about those, I agree with you. Now, I immediately dismissed it because who cares? It's Anchorman 2 for me. I was like, it's just a collection of really silly jokes, some of which hit and some of which don't.
And he got a gun from the future.
But I found it to be kind of lazy writing. It was like, there's a bunch of those
That
moments.
Was going
to
be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, the dialogue just wasn't quite there as much, I felt like.
Yeah, like trying to make jokes about things that clearly haven't happened yet, unless they're a reference to the fact they haven't happened yet, doesn't make any sense in there. And it takes you out of laughing even because you're like, wait, I am hyper aware this takes place in the year, I guess it's 1980.
No,
this one.
It took me out too, but then I was laughing at the fact that I think they knew that. I think they wanted to take you out of it.
Right, but it's not a huge leap between that kind of laziness and like defying your own, you know, the world that you've created just for the sake of a joke and free Bergen Seltzer. Because that's exactly what they do. They're like, we built the... I'm just saying, when you start down that road,
that's the
it's not a huge leap, man, to go like...
What's that called? The Nazis, when you bring up a Nazis in an argument?
Yeah, right. There should be a movie version of that where it's like when you
which is
like,
funny because you're the one calling them Nazis.
No. I'm saying that. No. It's like whenever you're
there's a term for it.
It's like Heisenberg or
that's not Heisenberg. No, but any argument where the first person who brings up Nazis argument over because at that point there's a name for that principle of what it is when you when an argument
leaning too far to too far to the right. Is that what it's called?
Oh man, taking them down a notch finally.
They'll be the second Reich from here on out.
Yeah, right. There should be a Friedberg and Zeltzer principle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is like that, because that's what those guys do, is they're like, we built this world of a film, but then just throw, I don't care, just throw things at it that people know. And that was what the Ghostbusters joke felt like to me in this. It was like, that doesn't even exist in your world, and to just throw it out there because people recognize it is, like Ashley said, it's super lazy.
See, I think there was an action movie reference that they got to you more.
The Bloodsport reference bothered me as well, because that movie was not released in 1980. Stop doing that!
See, that was one of those ones, though.
Miley Cyrus, what are you doing here? Twerk.
Well, she came in like a wrecking ball, so.
I'm really surprised that didn't actually happen at some point during this, but... more as well, though, I have to say, like, I mean, as you expect, most comedy sequels, and there are very few that are even worth watching.
True.
This one relies so heavily on hitting a lot of the same beats and doing new versions of the same jokes from the last one. Sometimes it fails miserably. Sometimes it actually kind of works.
Yeah.
I was ready for this to happen ahead of time, but I'm just going to say, if you guys remember the news anchor fight from the first one, they actually managed to trump that here with one of the most impressive series of cameos I've seen in some time in a film.
That we will not mention everybody because we don't want to ruin it for you.
But let me just put it this way. Don't think of it so much as a fight between different news agencies as a fight between the entire Screen Actors Guild.
Pretty much.
But it was so odd. Like, they summon a mystical being.
Yeah.
Like, how awesome is that?
Yeah. No, it is. I will say that fight.
It's like comedy. Pokemon.
Oh, God. Yes. Actually, I know you're not used to fighting for the mic here. You'll get used to it over time.
Okay.
So feel free to just jump in. Yeah, there was
one thing. So I liked it. I think a lot of it has to do with your expectations.
Sure.
You know, I didn't go in thinking I was going to love it as much as the first one. I didn't, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. One thing that kind of bothered me a little, though, was I think it relied on a story arc very similar to Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
Which I actually believe is a super underrated movie, and I love it.
Yes.
I agree.
And it has some of the greatest dialogue, and I think it's fantastic and underrated.
That's still my favorite of the Will Ferrell man.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Although Stranger Than Fiction is the best Will Ferrell film.
Oh, I love Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, just saying.
But I'm a big Emma Thompson fan, too, so.
There you go.
But yeah, and it's interesting because I don't want to spoil... It's a pretty big plot point that I think ties it directly to Talladega Nights, but when you go see it, you'll know when it hits. And the second that it hits, you're like, I'm basically watching Talladega Nights.
Right. And you're absolutely right. Because there's no, and the way it's set up, the way it shows up in this movie is such a stretch. It's like, really? That caused that? Really?
I never would have thought I could have said about a movie that it could use more NASCAR, but in this particular.
Yeah. You know what's missing from this film? That Buck Cherry song.
Well, that's missing from most movies. Come on. Yeah,
let's be real. I think Will Ferrell's doing a decent job here of he seems like he's trying not to just do the exact same thing he did in the first one. Obviously, there are tropes that they're going to fall back on, like his very inventive expletives, for example. I think my favorite in this one was Tony Danza's scrotum.
Yeah. I will probably use that at some point.
But they are trying some things, like we said, with like the whole idea of introducing the 24-hour news network and taking huge pot shots at Fox, which I thought was amazing.
Bringing in James Marsden as like the villain here, the other news guy who is...
He's the Vince Vaughn character.
Yeah. Well, and just used in the exact same way, where they cut his balls off really early in the film.
Yeah.
Well, once again a movie where James Marsden gets something taken from him.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he was Cyclops, Jean Grey's gone. He was the guy in Superman Returns, you lose Lois Lane.
So his whole thing is emasculation.
Well, Enchanted, yeah, like, this is it. This is his typecast.
Wow, I had never thought about that before, but it was Elliot, the sports guy, who put it together for
us. I like that. See, yeah. That's why he's on the sports desk.
Whammy? I don't know.
Whammy.
This just in with sports. I saw a movie! Hey!
Whammy!
It didn't even have balloons, and it was great.
It did have balloons.
They talked about
balloons.
I believe Brick had a balloon towards the end when Ron Burgundy makes an entrance into the newsroom towards the end of the film.
Did he?
You know, you're right, he did.
Boom!
You just got lawyered.
I'm not being paid right now.
That's why you invited me. Right? Yeah, to count balloons.
Elliot, sweetheart, nobody's getting paid.
I lawyer for pay, thank you.
You need to affect a Georgia accent for that one. Your Honor.
I'm not a big city fancy critic.
Well, that's more of a Georgia stroke, but okay.
I might get paid in Taco Bell. I am so bad at accents. This is just like...
that's how I just go, and now here's Brian with the accents.
Well, it was about that time that I became Morgan Freeman for no reason other than I can do a Morgan Freeman accent.
That's good.
Sploosh.
Enough.
Sploosh.
That's more like swish.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, should we go into our final verdict here?
Yeah, the final verdict. Let's hand it over to Ashley to start this one off with.
Yeah, and so I hear that this fine establishment hasn't yet set out any sort of rating system that I need to use.
It's true.
Yep, so
I'm still cultivating from the comment section, so you guys please keep suggesting.
And you can just give, like, your description of the final end of the, you know, what your final thoughts on it, and then your made-up rating.
Yeah. My advice to all of you is to go in there with expectations set reasonably. You're going to go see it at a mall, perhaps. Notice that there's still a Spencer's. Wonder how you got in the 90s. And then go see Anchorman. And if you do that, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be hilarious. And with that in mind, I'm going to rate it, I'm glad I quit playing Skyrim long enough to go see it.
Right on.
What about you, Elliot?
I really liked it. I recommend you, go to Amazon or something and, get like a rent the Anchorman if you don't own it. Watch it again just so you get the continuity jokes that come in the second one because there's a lot of them. I'm glad I did last night. I would say this is a movie that you should go see on an afternoon and just that way if you spend some money on it, you're not spending like all your money on it. So, I mean, I really liked it. And if you just go in with, like Ashley said, reasonable expectations. You just go along with the ride. Like you say, well, they didn't make sense. You just go, you know what? I'm going to power through it.
Those moments that are uncomfortable.
Yeah, you just like, nope.
Yeah, keep going.
But 2 seconds later, there'll be another gag and it'll be there for you. But as a warning, if you don't like this type of humor, do not go because it's all it is.
Yeah, not trying to break new ground.
Yeah, it's not a different movie than Anchorman. So if you don't like Anchorman, don't go to see this.
What's your rating? Your arbitrary rating.
I give it 4 out of 5 Pacific Rims.
That's going to be his for everything.
Yeah, he just rimmed us. You realize that's what he
it was
did.
A job.
Aw, my mom said this would happen one day.
It's going to be very special, Ashley, when the right man comes along.
And it didn't cost so much love to give.
And it didn't cost 3 months' salary, so yay. There
you go. What about you, Captain Salisbury?
Well... I think that the movie's biggest problem is that it kind of trips over itself doing the things that are familiar. Whereas it has a lot of smart, interesting things that it tries to do, but it gets in its own way, essentially trying to capitalize on what made the first one so popular. And I kind of understand that because when we're dealing with a movie that is 9 years removed from its predecessor.
9 years?
Yeah. I mean, the first one came out in 2004, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're completely right, yeah.
So I feel like I understand why that was a problem, is that they really were like, well, you know, just in case people have kind of lost that love affair with this film, I feel like we need to remind them what made it funny, and I feel like they got in their own way in doing that. It was still, like I said, there were parts that were really humorous. I think they definitely stepped it up in a really awesome way with the battle scene. I would give this movie a velour suit, but it's a hand-me-down velour suit.
Oh,
it's nice. A thrift shop.
Mm. Yes,
I'm indeed. In love with your final rating.
Right,
that's pretty amazing.
Brian popped some tags.
Boom.
You know what? I don't disagree with anything you're saying, except that I feel like in as much that it gets in its own way with referencing the original film, in some ways, yeah, it really actually supplants the stuff in the original film that should have been funnier the first time around and actually makes it funny this time. But yeah, it constantly stumbles over its own feet as much as it does that as well. I love the most of the cameos here, except for some of the returning characters in the original film. Like, there's a awkward as hell appearance by Fred Willard and Chris Parnell here.
Yeah, why are they
just
there?
Like, oh my god, that was so
like
not
to the point
funny.
That the other guys don't even talk to them. They're just like, really, you have no relationship that you would speak to each other?
They're just saying Fred Willard's not dead yet. He's still alive.
It's like Abe Vigoda. It's nice to know.
It's nice to know he's still. Just a reminder, he's still with us, whatever good that is. But there's funny stuff here. There's terrible stuff here. I mean, there's just as much stuff that I chuckled at as that I groaned at, but there was also more stuff I probably actually laughed out loud here than in the original film, for me anyway. And I'm going to give this 6 out of 10 sexist remarks.
like any of our given reviews.
Like any of our given reviews,
yeah,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
Until Ashley got here, because, like, obviously we have nothing but the purest respect for women. And
we started this review with a cock joke, so...
Put your pants on. I'll only ask one more time.
These aren't pants. They're just skin colored.
Put the bonnet back in the box.
Well, this has been Anchorman 2.
Sure.
Highly suspect. Good night and good reviews.